According to Michael Harner, he's the author of a book called The Way of the Shaman, and he's the head of the Foundation for Shamanic Studies, many moderns are turning towards shamanism to search outside the major religions of Christianity, Judaism, and Hinduism. But why? Priest and priestess traditions are hierarchical and have been typically passed down intact through generations, largely through the use of liturgical calendars and which post repeated religious holidays and seasons. So in recent decades, people have begun to search for ways of worship that speak more directly to their contemporary needs. In this quest for a more responsive spirituality, many people have begun to investigate older forms of relating to the divine. Shamanic cultures predate organized religions, and shamanic cultures exist in different cultural forms throughout the world. Shamanism in the Amazon, for example, is a place where the community shares a set of beliefs and forms a collective worldview that dominates the psychological and physical experience of each person. Westerners tend to separate the physical and the spiritual world, but they do not. In Native Americans, they primarily saw spirit in everything and worked on behalf of the tribe to secure the best possible results for their culture through nature. So it's by having visions of healing and doing sacred ritual that the shaman makes the visions come true. It's ancient magic, ancient healing, and the shaman manifests reality in the outer world from the visionary world. In addition to all that, if he didn't have already enough on his job description, or she serves as the tribe's doctor, psychologist, nutritionist, counselor, spiritual advisor, and mystic. Harner has the following to say about the value of shamanic practice. He spent more than half a century of his life studying shamanism and practicing in it, and he has seen nothing reported in the spiritual experience of saints, prophets, psychedelic drug experimenters, near-death survivors, avatars, and other mystics that is not commonly experienced when following classic journey methods using a drum. Ruth Swartz, poet who wrote that amazing poem about the guitar and the stone, is a shaman who received her degree in integrative learning from the California University, says, "What I love about shamanism is that it's not strictly Native American or Tibetan or Siberian. No matter where our ancestors come from, we have equal access to it. Yet with the spread of technology, these practices are rapidly disappearing. Swartz counsels clients on how to access their own inner shaman, while Harner has made it part of his life's work to help restore shamanism to regions where such knowledge has all but disappeared." Swartz herself stumbled upon the path to shamanism quite unintentionally while studying hypnotherapy as a student in transpersonal psychology. She says, "I never imagined it would be a door that was going to open for me, but when I started doing it, it was an incredible guide." Schultz says that as a very young person, 4 years old, she had a mystical experience where she was visited by a non-physical being who came and told her what she was supposed to do with her life. "I knew this did not exist in the reality that people in my life were talking about or acknowledging, so I didn't tell anyone about it. I never knew how to investigate it further, but it always stayed with me." For each person, the guide will be different, says Swartz. Some guides take a human form, others an animal form, and still others take the form of an aspect of nature, like a tree. Whatever their form, the guide will present itself to the shamanic practitioner. The guide will be there to help with decisions on this plane. And for many shamanic practitioners, the planes are the middle plane where we live, the underworld, and the upper world. The most common technique Schultz uses to lead her clients through guided visualization is she makes a suggestion, which is to have a question or an intention about the session. Write that down and then begin the journey listening to drums. She says that doing this, very often people will have flashes of insight or experience healing. It's about a connection with the higher part of themselves that has only their greatest good as intent. She says, if I could name one practice I would suggest people could try, it would be to get themselves in a centered place and simply say, I'm going to try to contact my higher wisdom. I'm going to sit here and maybe write a question at the top of the page and ask my higher wisdom to come through. But how do we know what inner voice to listen to? There are multiple voices inside our heads. I hope that's true for you. It is for me. I don't want to start worrying here. One of the voices is intent on keeping us safe. Another prods us to take risks, even in destructive situations. So it's a question of holding an intention to contact that inner voice that has only your highest good as its sole intent. Intention determines much. And while I was familiar with shamanism from a lot of reading in the area, especially Carlos Castaneda's books, it was the early 2000s before I began to study in earnest with Emma, I'll call her, a shaman living in Norfolk. I had found her through a group dedicated to positively impacting climate change. Emma instructed me while her husband George drummed. In our first meeting, we laid on the floor listening to the drummer and traveled in our imagination to the underworld. It was in the underworld that we would discover my power animal, who I could call on in my middle plane to help with problems. Like Alice in Wonderland, I was encouraged to envision an entrance and a tunnel to the underworld. I imagined a hole in a tree trunk, and before long, I was tumbling down to another level of being. When I landed, I walked out onto a landscape different from the one I knew. Everything was purple and pink, pink land stretching out for miles to purple mountains rising in the distance. Besides looking different, this geography and my movement through it did not conform to the usual law of physics. I could make a slight turn and be seemingly miles away from where I began. And I ran into this pleasant eagle who introduced herself to me. I had seen a few other animals in this lower world, but none distinguished themselves. I returned to the middle world where Emma advised me to look for examples of the eagle in my everyday life in order to see if my ordinary reality consciousness would confirm that eagle was in fact my power animal. To my surprise, confirmation for my power animal came within a week and in a very surprising location. I had been invited to attend a friend's ordination council meeting. So essentially, I was sitting in a room of Baptist ministers and Baptist congregational representatives. In this pastor's office, I noticed a large portrait of a soaring eagle on the wall, several eagle bookends, and several small pieces of eagle statuary on a shelf. I had quite literally come face to face with my power animal, the eagle, and gotten the confirmation I needed. On one subsequent journey to the underworld, my imagination constructed a tent and a bed of colorful cloth, which I used as my healing spot, excuse me, where I could bring myself or others for healing. In my next session, I was encouraged while lying on the floor again with the eyes shut, listening to the drumming, to travel to the upper world where I would meet my upper world spirit guide. The spirit guide would be anyone living or dead who could offer me assistance on my journey. The vehicle I used to travel to my upper world guide was a series of clouds and ladders that took me into upper space. I met a man dressed in white wearing a turban who spoke to me kindly and showed me around the stars. The man didn't identify himself. It wasn't until later that I realized the man I had seen in the upper world resembled a dervish, a religious from Rumi's time, who dressed in white and wore a turban, dancing the dervish, by whirling in a circle for hours, whipping himself into an ecstatic frenzy. Having met him in my journey to the upper world, I determined that Rumi would be my second guide. And since that time, I've been enlightened and guided by many, many Rumi poems. And had not really been familiar with them particularly before that. In shamanism, everything is spirit. Everything has a soul. To learn about a thing, the apprentice merges with its essence. During my apprenticeship, I merged with frogs and rain and connected with my future self at the time of my death. And the point of connecting with myself at the time of my death was to hopefully help me pass over with more acceptance when the time arrives, if I would be blessed with that opportunity. On another level, a shaman from an indigenous group in Dagara, Africa, doctor and shaman Dr. Maladoma, Patrice Somme, we follow him in an article called What a Shaman Sees in a Mental Hospital. It's a very interesting, different perspective from ours. He came to the United States in 1980 for graduate study, where he learned how this country deals with mental illness as opposed to how the doctors in Dagara treat mental illness. According to Somme, mental disorder, behavioral disorder of all kinds, signal the fact that two obviously incompatible energies have merged into the same field. These disturbances result when the person does not get assistance in dealing with the presence of this energy from the spirit realm. In the Dagara tradition, the community helps the person reconcile the energies of both worlds, the world of the spirit that he or she has merged with and the village and community they live in. That person is able then to serve as a bridge between the worlds and help the living with information and healing they need. Thus, the spiritual crisis ends with the birth of another healer. Somme sees entities surrounding inmates in a mental hospital ward, and he saw that they were attempting to merge with the inmates in order to get messages through to the world. The people they had chosen to merge with were getting no assistance in how to be a bridge between the worlds, and the beings' attempts were thwarted. The result was the sustaining of the initial disorder of energy and the aborting of the birth of a healer. The Western culture has constantly ignored this potential, states Dr. Somme. The spirits are drawn to people whose senses have not been anesthetized. Those who develop so-called mental disorders are often those who are sensitive, viewed in Western culture as overly sensitive. Indigenous cultures don't see it that way, and as a result, sensitive people don't experience themselves as overly sensitive. In the West, Somme says, it is the overload of the culture that is just wrecking them. He says the frenetic pace, the bombardment of the senses, and the violent energy that characterize Western culture can overwhelm sensitive people. With schizophrenia, there's a special, quote, receptivity to a flow of images and information which cannot be controlled, stated Dr. Somme. When this occurs at a time that is not personally chosen and with images that are scary and contradictory, the person goes into a frenzy. In this situation, what a shaman would do would be to try to banish the extraneous foreign energies. They would use a practice known as sweeping to clear the latter out of the individual's aura. And with the clearing of their energy field, the person no longer picks up a flood of information and so no longer has a reason to be scared and disturbed, explains Dr. Somme. Then it is possible to help the person align with the energy of the spirit being attempting to come through from the other world and give birth to the healer. It is the blockage of that emergence that creates problems. The energy of the healer is a high-voltage energy, Somme observes. When it's blocked, it just burns up the person. Again, the shamanic approach to work on aligning the energy so there is no blockage. Fuses aren't blowing, and the person can become the healer they are meant to be. Changing how we view a patient and what is happening to them will change how they are treated and how they will progress. Shifting perspectives can, in fact, be a very healing process. Somme took a student named Alex, diagnosed as schizophrenic in the U.S., back to Africa with him to his village. I was prompted by my curiosity to learn whether there's truth in the belief that the shamanic view of mental illness holds true in the Western world as well as in indigenous countries. Alex was an 18-year-old American who had suffered a psychotic break when he was 14, and he had hallucinations, was suicidal, and went through cycles of dangerously severe depression. He was in a mental hospital and had been given a lot of drugs, but nothing seemed to be helping. With his parents' permission, Dr. Somme took their son to Africa. After 8 months there, Alex had become normal, Dr. Somme reports. He was even able to participate with healers in the business of healing, sitting with them all day long and helping them, assisting them in what they were doing with the clients. He spent about 4 years in the village, Somme says, not because he needed more healing, but because he felt safe there. To bring his energy and that of the being from the spiritual realm into alignment, Alex went through a shamanic ritual designed for that purpose, although it was slightly different from the one used with the Dogara people. He wasn't born in the village, so something else applied. But the result was similar, even though the ritual was not exactly the same. The last that Dr. Somme heard was that Alex was in graduate school in psychology at Harvard. No one had thought he would ever be able to complete undergraduate studies, much less get an advanced degree. Dr. Somme sums up what Alex's mental illness was all about in shamanic terms, and this is in shamanic terms. He was reaching out. It was an emergency call. His job and his purpose was to be a healer. He said no one had previously been paying attention to that. One of the gifts a shaman can bring to the Western world is to help people rediscover ritual. The abandonment of ritual can be devastating from the spiritual view. Ritual is inevitable and necessary if one is to live, Dr. Somme writes in Ritual, Power, Healing, and Community. Dr. Somme did not feel that the rituals from his traditional village could simply be transferred to the West. So over his years of shamanic work here, he has designed rituals that meet the very different needs of this culture. Although the rituals change according to the individual or the group involved, he finds that there is a need for certain rituals in general. Taking a sacred ritual approach to mental illness, rather than regarding the person as a pathological case, Somme says, gives the person affected, and indeed the community at large, the opportunity to begin looking at it from that vantage point too, which leads to a whole plethora of opportunities and ritual initiatives that can be beneficial to everyone present, states Dr. Somme. So such ritual presents opportunities for the West to learn from the vantage point of the past and to refine that perspective with a current one. At the very least, shamanism gives us a chance to access spiritual practices that can vastly widen our perspective and approach to healing ourselves and others. Thank you.